Get deeper insights on the news from inside sources.
Of course, we've all been watching the chaos unfolding at many of America's top universities as protests turned into encampments that turned into occupations of buildings. We've also seen violent responses from protesters and counter-protesters. We've had state governments and administrations and others, some who have stood by and watched, some who have been very physical in moving it forward and removing the protesters. The important thing to remember in all of this is, one, we are dealing with some pretty young adults, many that are just barely out of high school, that are participating in these protests. And so you have to ask the under the headline question of how strongly motivated are these protesters by the plight of the innocent civilians inside of Gaza? How many are anti-Semitic? How many are just against Israel's bombing into Gaza? And you can go on and on and on down the list. There's a whole host of things that we cannot conflate into an either or kind of situation. But the real thing that I want to get to in this segment is this ideology or is this instilled? Is this part of what we're creating on campus or is this a byproduct of something else? And to help us do that, as we often do, we turn to Jennifer Graham, who is the ideas and culture editor for the Deseret News. We just call her one of the great writers and thinkers in America. And Jennifer, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thank you so much. You don't have to say all those nice things about me. I would come on anyway just to talk to you.
We just want to make sure because we love having you on, Jennifer. So, and fortunately, we speak truth on this show. So I just call balls and strikes. That's my job.
Thank you.
You had a great piece talking about this very thing of are those on college, are they terrorists? Are they protesters? Are they impressionable kids? Give us some of your deep dive into this.
Well, you know, that word terrorist really stood out to me, and that's what got me into the line of thought that led me to this piece that you're referencing, because that's, of course, language that's being used on social media. And I was a bit taken aback by it. I mean, yeah. I know you watch a little bit of Fox News and some of the footage, and you understand why people may say that. But on the other hand, we're also talking about really young kids. And really young kids who have been through an interesting couple of years, I'll put it that way, with COVID and such, going through high school during COVID. And, you know, some people have said that this generation perhaps is just not as mature as previous generations have been at this age. So we're not just talking about college kids, but we're talking about kids that are not even as mature as they were, say, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And you look at some of the videos of them giving interviews and you think, yeah, these really are kids.
Yeah, no question about that. And you dug into, again, beautifully getting beyond the headlines and what's on the surface. You looked at something happening at UCLA where, of course, some of those protesters and counter-protesters clashed overnight last night. Give us what you found out in just a real simple class at UCLA and what it might teach us in terms of what is under the surface of a lot of this.
Well, this is some reporting that came out, I think, about a week ago by a small newspaper, conservative, called the Washington Free Beacon. And it's about a class that has been taught at UCLA, I think for a couple of years now, that's called a health equity class. And it's a required course in the medical school in which students are being taught some really radical ideas. And one of the ones that he focused on was the idea that obesity is a concept that's used by oppressors. And the quote was to exact violence on fat people. And it was a lot of the kind of critical theory kind of language that has raised eyebrows in conservative circles over the past 10 or 20 years. And it just was really interesting that this particular class was focused on right at the time that these protests are going on. And I think there's a clear line between those concepts being taught on the university level and what we're seeing play out in pretty terrible graphic circumstances on campuses right now.
Yeah, so connect those dots for us. Kind of walk us through how some of that kind of framing of things really becomes the kind of the precursor to some of the things that we are seeing on campus.
Well, I mean, the whole idea is that we are talking about a generation of kids who have been raised in language of oppression. And the idea is that the world is basically two camps. You're either part of the oppression or you're one of the oppressed. You're either an oppressor or a victim. And this has played out, of course, in critical race theory over the past couple of years. And it's why the 1619 Project was so controversial, because it recast American history into those terms. And now we're seeing it in terms of Israel and Palestine. And it's why these students are so passionate about this, because this is what they've been taught in high school and college. And, you know, who doesn't want to be on the side of the victims, right? I mean, they think it's a very noble cause, and there's no nuance in here whatsoever. It's just, it's black and white thinking all the way down.
Yeah, and that whole victim mentality and the whole grievance approach to things, it does go across the political spectrum. Of course, former President Donald Trump used grievance as a way to win the White House in 2016, and he's doubling down here in 2024 in terms of, you know, it's rigged, everyone's out to get you. If they get me, they're going to come after you next. And it's kind of that same feeling in terms of the oppressor and the oppressed. And you got to pick one of those camps, and it's an either or choice. To me, that doesn't lead us towards any kind of conversations that lead us anywhere, whether it's dealing with what's happening in the Middle East, whether it's dealing with anti-Semitism here at home. How do you see the path forward on all of this? And what is it that we all should be aware of as we consume a lot of this kind of news, especially during the current situation?
Well, I think a real problem that is before us right now is the generational divide in all of this, because there have been so many polls recently that have looked at how sympathy for Palestine versus sympathy for Israel is very sharply divided on generational lines. And I mean, I'm just seeing this in families. I mean, I've got young kids of protesting age. Thankfully, they're not out there. I call and check every night to make sure that they're not, but they could be. And so, you know, I think myself and a lot of other people, a lot of other parents are dealing with this right now, and that they hold very different views from the children that they have raised. And it's going to be interesting how we as a country navigate this issue, but also how we on personal levels navigate this issue within our own families, because it's not just taking place on college campuses. There's this division of thought going on within our own families, and there are repercussions beyond just at the voting booth this fall.
Yeah, I think that's so important to point that out, that it's very easy to say, oh, this is just happening on college campuses, but it's happening around kitchen tables and dinner tables and community centers and family Zoom calls and text chat groups. And it seems to be really pervasive everywhere. And it seems to me that as we go down this path, that we're getting further and further into, it may not be that we're necessarily so divided, because if you get into the nuance of all of these things, most of those lines tend to disappear or at least dissipate somewhat. But it seems to me that we're being not so much divided, but we're being separated. And often it's a self-separation that seems to be driving a lot of this.
That is so true. I agree with you on that. And I also, I do have more hope than some people do. And I do think that this is a moment that is perhaps, it perhaps does have some implications greater than just what's on the news this week. Yeah. I mean, we may be seeing some changes in higher education, for example, that are going to be with us for a while, you know, even once all these encampments are taken down, and they will be taken down. And, you know, I think it's just going to be probably a difficult couple of weeks in America. I'll say that. But one thing that gives me hope is, number one, there does not seem to be any kind of revolutionary like leader leading these kids. And also they seem to me to have a quality a little bit like the horse Snowball, if you remember from Animal Farm. It was that little white mare who was always so worried about her ribbons and her sugar and whether she was going to be able to get sugar after the revolution. And you see these videos of these kids saying, well, we need food brought into us at Columbia University. And I saw Snowball in that video, and I thought, I don't know, these kids really want their ribbons and their sugar, so I'm not certain how long they're going to fight on the front lines here. So we'll see. This may die down quickly.
Great perspective. Bonus points for Animal Farm reference. I'm getting my balls and strikes in. That's why Jennifer Graham is the best of the best. Jennifer, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
All right. Bye. Great perspective, great ideas, great focus from Jennifer Graham. Great piece. You can check it out at Deseret.com. We'll step aside for bottom of the hour news. More Inside Sources coming up next.